You're listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves.
Welcome to Atlanta Baseball Talk, show number 330. Today's Sunday, April 24th, and my name is Steve. I'm joined by both Hamilton and Curtis, and guys, it's good to be back.
Yes, welcome back, Stevie.
Yeah, thank you. You know, it's amazing that I was traveling for 2 weeks and missed only four wins.
Seriously. Define amazing.
Yeah, maybe I'm using that in a different way.
As somebody noted, we're on pace to win like 20 games this season. So.
Totally getting the first pick, though.
Yes.
Yes.
And I mean, a hard fought that. 20 wins.
Yeah.
Eat it, twins.
All right, guys. In tonight's show, we'll discuss Adonis's defense, O'Flaherty's numbers, and we'll check in on numbers down on the farm. But first, guys, a piece of the future arrived today as Aaron Blair got the start in this final game against the Mets on Sunday. As you may remember, the Diamondbacks felt that the number one pick and an established center fielder weren't enough. So they included a major league ready starting pitcher in Aaron Blair as well. So Blair was fantastic at the start of the season in the minor leagues this year in Gwinnett, posting a 1.42 ERA and a 0.79 whip. Not to mention averaging more than 10 strikeouts per nine innings. So today, guys, I thought he showed a lot of promise. Yeah. He settled down after that first inning, right? I mean, he left some, 90-mile-an-hour fastballs over the plate in the first inning, a couple of clean singles. But then he really settled down. He ended up with a going 5 1/3, 3 earned. Two of those he had let in. One was Ogando when he came in, a sac fly, accounted for that third run. 2 walks, 1 strikeout. So, guys, I don't know how much or little you got to see of it, but, I thought it was a good start to the Blair era.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think he's ready. I think if he can get a lot of good starts, he's ready to be here. He did get a lot of – he had 3 double plays, so that helped. And for once, the Braves played good defense behind him. Yeah, it's exciting. And you're absolutely right. It's such an afterthought to Swanson and Inciarte.
Like, right.
Oh, yeah, and Aaron Blair. So welcome, Aaron.
No kidding. So, guys, this poses a bigger question, I think, and one that the two of you touched on last week. So Blair's call-up indicates that the Braves may be willing to start bringing these guys up this year and start their years of control, start that control clock ticking, and potentially even give them another year of arbitration to the guys that will potentially be Super 2 guys by calling them up before July this year. So after seeing Blair in the flesh today, does this change your minds any from your position last year of just leave him down on the farm and let him get seasoning? Hammy?
So for me, it's a double-edged sword. Because you really want to make sure that you're positioning yourself to maximize the talent you get from these guys over the long term, right? You want as much, you want your contract and where they're as cheap as they are now to go as long as it can. But at the same time, I believe that if someone's going to be a career part of your team, they have to have a bad first season. I think they need to take their lumps at the major league level. And if we're building for 2017, like we say, and maybe promise there, we should bring Blair up now. Let him take his lumps now. As long as he gets to start every fifth start and work stuff out, and his confidence doesn't take too much of a hit, I say strike while the iron's hot. Get him seasoned now. Get him ready to go next year. And don't worry too much about the long term. There's so much that can change between now and when he is actually ARB eligible. And if he's performing well now, like he is, according to the stats that you just said, use him and strike while the iron's hot. So I say bring him up and don't worry about the long term.
Yeah, Curtis, how do you see it?
I guess I'm still torn because I just think the Braves are really, really going to be bad this year. And obviously when Glavine came up, when Smoltz came up, the Braves, that was as bad as a team as potentially this will be. That was around 88, 89, and the Braves were awful then. So they survived it.
They needed it.
As did a bunch of other guys that kind of came up at that same time that went on to be in that really successful stretch. Ron Gant, whoever. But in the same sense, I guess what – I mean, who were you taking out of the rotation? I know Williams Perez got sent down, but, I mean, have we seen enough of Williams Perez to not give him more opportunities? I mean, if we're going to go – in, should we go full in and bring a bunch of these guys up and just let it be a really young team that gets beat up? I guess I don't know where the line is that you draw, because I mean, do we need to see more Bud Norris and Chacin, and just should we just hand it over to these young pitchers? I don't know. I mean I still kind of feel like I want these guys to get a lot of seasoning in the minors, I suppose. And it doesn't really, I don't care about the money and anything like that. I don't want them to just kind of have the stench that's going to be this season.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, it's an investment in the future, but you have to do it well. We have to trust that this front office knows what they're doing and will bring the right guys up and bring them up when they're ready. Like, it's not time to bring Dansby up.
No,
it makes no sense to give him his lumps in the majors and have his on the job training. Like, he's not ready yet, but you have a guy like Aaron Blair who was obviously ready. And you have a guy like Aaron Blair who is the future. Williams Perez is not the future.
Right.
Like, I'm fine with throwing Perez back down and seeing what Aaron Blair has. Right. And you have to balance it, Kurt. I mean, you're right. Like, you can't bring up so many guys that they just lose 14 out of 15 games over and over and over again, and they're just fried. Well,
not because they're fried. I mean, if you don't care about the outcome, sorry to interrupt, if you don't care about the outcome of this season and you've written it off, doesn't that give you license to just mix it up and try to see as many guys as you can and really start to explore all the different combinations about, you know, what your future is and what you have? Why ride Williams Perez? He's not lights out. Why, who cares? And I mean, he's a fine pitcher, but why not give Blair a shot? Why not give all these guys a shot?
Well, because all these guys are not ready, right?
Well, if they're ready, though. I mean, if they're, you know, knocking on the door and they're Fulte and they're Max Fried or whomever, and I know he's not knocking at the door, but give these guys a shot. Why not? What do you have to lose?
Well, because I think that there is really a business side to this with the new stadium coming and the ticket sales that you need to have and excitement building and, you know, ticket sales and its relationship to the payroll next year. I mean, I just don't think you can field a team that's going to lose 14 out of every 15 so that these guys, one, are just psychically beat up, and second, that there's 10 people in the stadium. Like, you have to stay competitive. I do think that that's important as well. So you have to do this kind of surgically and strategically. You know, I mean, it's wrapped up in a lot of things. Also, like that, the IPO, right? The Braves IPO that happened, whatever, last week, that started at whatever number it did and plummeted
embarrassingly.
Embarrassingly, right? I mean, these things are all related. So you bring up a guy like Blair because, one, he's an investment in the future. He's ready to start experience in the majors, but he also probably over the course of the season makes you better too. So it's really a win-win. I mean, I think those are the things you have to do as you start to bring a few guys up.
Well, and I think there's also value in these guys moving in mass together. I mean, going back and looking at those teams that were moving up before that run through the 90s, I mean, those guys were winning minor league championships
together.
You know, they won. I think they won one when they were still in Richmond. I think they won one like a double A or single A as well. So they got a taste of success and winning. And so when they got to the major leagues, it was part of their stigma at that time. You know, I'm sure that enabled them to be confident, even though they were coming into a situation that, and they were playing for an organization that really had no history like the current Braves do. I mean, they created the history that this team relies on so much now. Let's not forget that for the 70s and the 80s, for the most part, save 2 years when Joe Torre was our manager, the Braves were really the worst team in baseball, if what? Not one of the worst. So, you know, they created that and they were enabled to, they enabled it by bringing that success through the system as a group and then bringing it to Atlanta. And I mean, it helped that they had great leadership guys like Bream and Terry Pendleton, people like that when they came up. But I think there's something to be said for these guys developing together.
So just let them marinate in Gwinnett for a while and gel.
I think they can certainly, they can pick guys like you guys have mentioned. Aaron Blair clearly looks like he's beyond ready, and his poise when he came up today, like you said, Steve, he settled down immediately. I watched his post-game interview. You know, I mean, he seems like Whistler, you know, I mean, that there's a makeup of the guy that you feel very confident in because he seems like he's got his act together, despite it being his very first start. I mean, they asked him if he was nervous and he said no. you know, I mean, so and Folty looks like he's about ready to break through and come back up and give it another shot, too. So I'm not saying that you just keep them down there so you can, you know, nest this group of guys. But I think there's something to be said for kind of keeping them together and having them come up in a broader group.
Well, and I think that some of that will happen maybe more with the position players, you know, one or two of the pitchers. A lot of the pitchers are, you know, a lot of the next wave of the pitchers are already in AAA, you know. So I think that some of it will be luck and sort of the speed at which they develop. I don't think it needs to be the driving force of how to bring these guys up, though.
Yeah,
sure.
Is all I would say. All right, guys, next up is Fair or Foul. But first, a quick break. All right, fair or foul, where I throw something out there and we agree with it fair or disagree with it foul. So, guys, staying on the topic of calling up prospects, Malik Smith has continued to have a tough time of it since coming up to replace the injured Ender Inciarte. After today, Sunday's 0-for-4, he is slashing a robust 158, oof, 256, 493, and has looked a bit rough in center at times as well. So yesterday it came out that Freddy Gonzalez is saying that he's fighting to keep Malik on the big club for the time being, at least until Inciarte comes off the DL, which should be somewhere around the first week in May. So, Hammy, fair or foul, you agree that Malik should stay on the big club at least until Inciarte is back?
I do. As long as he's playing every day, just like Blair, he's here. I think he's ready. He doesn't look overmatched at the plate. And I think, you know, he just needs a lot of at-bats. And why not get it against major league pitching? You know, I don't think it's a situation where he's going to get his confidence shattered. Again, I think you need to figure things out at the major league level. And we're not really playing for anything this year. So why not just get up there, let him take his at-bats, let him develop as a player. So I say fair. As long as he's playing a lot, I think he should stay up here.
Curtis?
I think that he'll probably stay up through the Olivera situation. But I think after that, I think he should probably get sent back down. Because I think that if you have those guys, and of course we haven't heard a peep out of what the situation with Olivera is, but assuming... Well,
The only thing I'd say is that the additional 2-week extension on his leave, which was announced a couple of days ago. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But yes, beyond that. But assuming that he is going to be back after this 2-week hiatus, you have to send him down at that point because then you have your starting outfield that you started the season with, and he's not going to play much. And there's really no need for him to sit and watch baseball up here when he can be playing every day in Gwinnett. So I say foul.
All right. So, you know, to me, I mean, staying on this topic of when do you bring these guys up, sometimes injury is going to make the decision for you. And Hammy, you said it. He looked ready. I mean, he looked ready in the spring, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And they decided, because there really was no room for him, especially with the Inciarte addition, you know, put him in Gwinnett. But circumstances dictated it. He's here. I think that it makes absolute sense to keep him up until the right time, Kurt, whether that's Oliveira's return, certainly when Inciarte returns, then you send him back down. But yes, keep him, you know, having this on the job training. It's nothing but good.
Yeah.
And you know, it's there's no downside to it.
Yeah. I think as long as he's getting, you know, 4 at bats a game, keep him up here. There is no downside. There's no downside.
All right, guys, next up. So Adonis Garcia is the worst fielding third baseman in baseball. So that's good.
Is that is that by the magazine of Steve, or are there stats to back that up?
No, that's actually stats and stuff, like errors and whatnot.
Hmm.
So Freddy Gonzalez said this week, quote, "He's not a third baseman. He's a hitter," end quote. I think someone had asked what position Garcia plays. So a big defensive vote of confidence for Garcia there from Freddie. You know, but he's also the Braves' best hitter by average and our cleanup hitter. And really, you know, in what is a scuffling, depressing offense, one of the bright spots, right? So, Curtis, fair or foul? Do you keep running him out there at third base?
Yes. At this point, you have to have the opportunity to produce runs. And the Braves have very few sources of that on their team. And so if you sacrifice a little defense for some offense, I think you have to do it. I mean, we knew that was going to be the situation with him. I don't know what your other options are, unless you're going to put Daniel Castro at third. Put Ibar back in there, who is a train wreck. I don't see that there's any other option. So,
I mean, there's options at third, right? You could play Kelly Johnson there. You can play Jace Peterson there. You could put Castro there. It's not filling third. It's how else would you get? How else would you get him
Garcia's
at bats?
Bat in the game?
Right. I mean, you'd be throwing him in left, which would probably be Gattis bad.
Right.
You
know, so you have
Jace
Peterson, who's batting .216, Kelly Johnson, who's batting .189. You know, Daniel Castro is
no,
again,
their hands are tied.
Yeah.
He is the microwave. He is instant offense.
But that's not the thing, though. It's not about that. It's like you can replace third, but then where do you put Garcia? First?
Right.
Second?
Right.
Yes, first.
Freeman,
.170.
That's another conversation, maybe.
Yeah, we do need some offense from that position. Hammy, I guess you answered.
The only thing I would add is that, I mean, it's not like he's blocking anybody either. You know, you might say, well, what are we playing for? And not to take the total pessimist view of this whole show, but he's doing great, but he's not taking at bats from anybody. In the front, who's knocking on the door at third.
Ruiz is batting .381 at Gwinnett right now. At what point do we start talking about bringing him up?
After the trade deadline. You know what I mean? I think you keep throwing Adonis out there to keep building up his value because you trade him at the trade deadline and then Ruiz starts at third.
I like that scenario.
You know what I mean? But, you know, if you guys will give me a second, like, I blame this whole thing on the front office and the horrible miscalculation of the Oliveira trade. Because they really needed to have known and seen that his defense was going to be such a liability in their eyes, or that his offense was going to be such a liability that they needed to send him to left field to all of a sudden leave this big gap at third where we're throwing a guy in major league games that has no right to be playing third base. Like, this really all stems from the Oliveira move. You know what I mean? Hello? Anyone with
yes.
this?
Oh, yes. Yeah, absolutely. That's the gift that keeps on giving, really.
God, it really is. But I think that fair, you keep throwing him out there because, yeah, you're going to trade him. You're going to trade him at the deadline, and then Ruiz steps in.
Or Gordon Beckham.
Yeah. And he's also, yeah. I mean, without him, we're losing 14 of 15, Steve, like you said.
Yeah. All right, guys. So O'Flaherty continues to be the worst reliever in the pen by ERA. So fair or foul, Hammy, the Braves should remain patient with EOF and keep throwing him out there.
Yeah, we don't have a ton of options, as Dave O'Brien said, and as we've talked about. And I don't really think O'Flaherty is blocking anyone here. Do you say, you know, Mark Sperry? We sent Mark Sperry down to make room for Blair. Do you send O'Flaherty down instead of Mark Sperry? Kroll is in Gwinnett. He's a good pitcher, but I sort of want him in Gwinnett still. So without really playing for anything, I say fair. And it's only been a couple of innings. He's had a couple of bad starts. I don't think he's the pitcher he was, but I think it's no reason to panic on O'Flaherty yet either. So I say fair. Be patient.
Okay, wow. You like the rose-colored glasses you have about O'Flaherty, Hammy. I don't know. I'm a little floored by that. Curtis, how do you see it?
We have no options. I'm not happy by it.
I was waiting for, like, the rim shot. I thought that was, like, a joke.
It's not been that bad.
We do have one option, and he pitched today, and he's pitched great since they brought him up.
Cervenka.
Yeah, no, Cervenka's been maybe the best middle guy out of the pen.
So he should
be. That wasn't the question. I mean, he should be our first lefty out of the pen, but do you just send O'Flaherty down? Do you not run him out there?
No, you can't. You can't send him down. I mean, you just get rid of him. But, I mean, Cervenka absolutely. And to this point, Freddie has every kind of tight situation where you call for a left-hander, Freddie's brought EOF in.
Right.
And it's blown up on them every single time he's made that decision. So he should not continue to get thrown out there. We should not be patient with him. The guy is not 19, 21 years old. He's old, you know. He's been around the block. He's shot. So Cervenka should be the guy that you're constantly bringing out in these situations. And if we have a game, which I'm sure we'll have several of them this week, where we're getting blitzed, then you can pitch EOF in those games and see if he can kind of work his way back into shape. But for this point, I have no patience with him. I mean, he's sort of cost us a couple of games so far. So
but do you, and that's fair. And I was more thinking about, do you just give up on him? Do you still want him on your roster as a left-hander? Or do you bring up Mark Sperry or Kroll or try to find another lefty?
Yeah. I don't know.
Well,
I didn't really think deeply, but.
Because I definitely go to Cervenka. I mean, I'm totally with you on that, but it's the second question.
Yeah, and Hammy, and that was really the question. Like, do you keep him on the roster? I mean, Ham, he's had 10 appearances so far. Only two of them were clean. So only two without a hit and or a walk. You know, his ERA is over 8. His WHIP is 2.7. So foul. They should not be patient with him. I mean, there are few more depressing things, especially when offense is at such a premium with this team, for the leaky bullpen. So I think you give him a couple more weeks, see if he and Roger can figure something out, and then get rid of him and start cycling guys. I mean, it's going to be the cycling guys show for middle relief, and you know, a lot, not too much longer, and EOF has proven he ain't the guy, and it's time to move on to someone else in my mind. This isn't 2012, Hammy.
Yeah.
God.
But bum.
I think it's more a matter of not having better options. But anyway.
But all I'm saying is, like, maybe it's time to start seeing Kroll again, because we know what we have in EOF, and it's no good.
Yeah, fair enough.
All right, guys, time for the Farm Watch, where we check in on some top prospects and see how they're faring. So, guys, let's focus on AAA and more starting pitching in honor of Aaron Blair. So, Folty, who was one of the guys who was potentially going to get the start today, although he missed some time, there was a death in the family, so he hasn't been on his sort of normal schedule. He pitched last Monday, the 18th, gave up 4 earned runs over 5 innings. Today, he went 7 innings, no earned runs, and 4 walks. The other, you know, big prospect in Gwinnett is Tyrell Jenkins, who went 6 innings and gave up 2 this week for Gwinnett. So, guys, if you had to pick, if, you know, the Norris experiment continues to go south, for example, and it's time to bring up another person, who do you guess is the next guy we see? Curtis?
I think it's faulty. I think it's got to be faulty.
Yeah.
Why? Why?
Just because he's been up here before, and what we've seen of him so far, it just seems like he's the natural fit to be the next one in line.
Hammy?
Yeah, I more quickly want him with his potential to be part of the team, so I want to see him more than I want to see Tyrell. And I want to see Tyrell. But for him to go 7 and not give up a run is great. Yeah, he's still walking.
Four walks, but then
recovering from those and not letting those come back to haunt him. That's promising. You know, I'm excited to see Tyrell too, but a little bit more faulty.
Yeah, so I mean, I guess if I was really pressed, I would say it would be faulty too, Kurt, for your reasons that he's got more history. But boy, both of these guys seem ready. I mean, think about the rotation next year, which will have faulty, Jenkins and Blair in it. You got to figure plus Whistler and Tehran. You know, it's a pretty exciting starting five.
Yeah. And so, you know, Curtis, to your point, how quickly do you try to get that in place and to start gel at this level, right? At the majors? Do you think we see those guys up here by the end of the season?
Maybe at the end of the year. I mean, you got to figure that Aaron Blair's on a pitch count. So I would think. I mean, they're not going to run him out there and have him
throw 125 innings.
Yeah, I would think.
Yeah, and I would guess that we see both Fulte and Jenkins after the trade deadline, if not before, because I think it makes sense to get those guys 5-10 starts apiece to start ramping them up for 2017. I mean, I think that just is a good investment in time.
With an eye towards that being your starting rotation opening day.
Exactly. So a couple of quick other pitching notes in AA Mississippi. Sean Newcomb, he pitched today, going 5, giving up 3 earned and 4 walks. Tuki Toussaint continues to just get lit up in single-A Rome. He gave up 7 earned over 5 innings this week. And Max Fried got roughed up on the road this week, giving up 5 earned over 5 in single-A Rome. All right, guys, next up is Shot in the Dark, but first, a quick break. All right, gentlemen, first, let's check in for Shot in the Dark on how we did last week, starting with our listener-submitted Shot in the Dark from Guy Strauss, who predicted that Eric Ibar would have 3 hits this week and commit no errors. And my God, how low the bar is for Eric Ibar. You know,
he will lace his shoes
and not trip at any point this week. You know, I was looking up Ibar's numbers because we were all excited about the improvement over Simmons in terms of offense. We were getting it from Ibar. Ibar's like a career 274, 274, 305, I don't know, 400 slugging. I mean, this guy could, this guy was a decent offensive piece. He's in the 100s. Like, is this just another famous precipitous falling off a cliff performance for Atlanta Brave that's, new here in the uniform? I mean, like, what is happening? But, Guy, you were right on the mark. He had exactly 3 hits this week and no errors.
Wow.
The three hits were all doubles. But don't get too excited, Hammy, because he hit 136 this week. Yeah. All right. So let's check in on the three of us. So, guys, I had predicted that Tehran would go 7 1/3 scoreless against the Dodgers. He went 5 1/3 and gave up 2. Kurt, you had Malik batting over 260 with 3 stolen bases. He batted a robust 157 this week with no stolen bases. And, Ham, you had Freeman with a homer, 2 doubles, and batting over 300. He went 192 with 1 double and no home runs.
So close.
So I don't know. I mean, Guy is the big winner this week.
Yes.
The three of us really nowhere near it. I know there was no winner last week. Have there been any winners in April?
No. We've not had a winner this year.
We've been way too optimistic.
With listeners, too. No one has won yet.
Except for Guy.
Except for Guy.
All right. So, but between the three of us, guys, this is, I mean, there's a tremendous amount of pressure on our predictions for this week because the entire month of April is up for grabs.
Huge pressure.
So be careful. All right. So, Hammy, what do you got? What's your shot in the dark this week?
I predict that Kimbrel gets two save opportunities against us and he blows one of them.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
All right, Curtis, how about you?
I was thinking I would say I believe that the Atlanta Braves will hit one home run this week, but I thought that was a little crazy. So I am saying that the Braves will not score more than three runs in any game they play this week.
All right, seven games, no less. All right, and I'm going for the Braves sweep the Red Sox all four games this week. Well, you know.
Now we get to laugh at you in two different sections, Shot in the Dark and The Week Ahead.
Yeah, it's so true. All right, so folks, please don't forget to send in your Shot in the Dark before first pitch on Monday. Send them in on Twitter is really the best place. So before first pitch on Monday, get those Shots in the Dark in. All right, so guys, let's look at The Week Ahead and our predictions for the week. So let's start with what we did last week. We all predicted the Braves would post a record of 3-3. Not really. The Braves managed to take one from the Dodgers, lose the next two, and then get swept by the Mets for a 1-5 week. So, yeah, not so good. All right.
1-11 at home now.
Yeah, well, when you're 4-... How many have we lost? Right, so 9 and then 5 were 4-14.
I think that's right.
Yeah, I think 4-14. Yeesh. I think we're the worst team in baseball by record now.
Look out, Twins.
And yeah. By talent, really.
Well, yeah, I guess
I think there may be a couple
saying.
Of indicators that put us there.
All right, guys. So let's look at the upcoming week and the pitching matchup. Seven games this week. Pretty brutal. Four against the Red Sox, two at home, and then two in Boston. And then we go to Chicago to play the Cubs, who score, 10 runs a game.
Just like
us. Yeah, exactly. All right, so the pitching matchups are Teheran versus Rick Porcello and his 4.66 ERA, although he does have a sub-1 whip. Next is Whistler David Price, who I hadn't noticed got, lit up for 8 runs in his last start against the Rays.
Really?
Hammy, what's the vibe in Boston?
They're all caught up in the Celtics.
Yeah.
They're not worried about the Red Sox yet. Yeah.
You had to bring that up, didn't you?
I'm sorry. Steve made me. I can only be honest.
And then on to Boston, where it's the struggling Bud Norris against Stephen Wright, who not only a great comedian, but a starting pitcher.
Yes. And is in the Louis Show, Horace and Pete, which is fantastic, by the way.
Yeah, I need to watch that. I've
and is it. Over.
Right. It's all done.
Yeah, it was just
All right, so Stephen Wright has a 1.4 ERA. And then we finish up in Boston with Chacin against Buchholz, who's not having a great year. He's at 6.33.
I'll be at that game.
Will you?
I will be at Fenway, and it's Grateful Dead tribute night.
Right, yes, I heard that on the show last week.
Now I brought it up twice.
Now are you taking your son? You guys going to stay for the jam band afterward?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Eat some brownies.
No, for the record. Just to make sure.
All right, in Chicago, we miss Arrieta, so a blessing there. It will be, I assume, Blair, although ESPN had not listed a starter, but I assume it will be Aaron Blair versus John Lackey and his almost 5 ERA. Next will be Teheran versus the rejuvenated Jason Hamill and his 1.0 ERA. And then the week closes out with Whistler versus Kyle Hendricks and his 4.0 ERA. So, guys, seven games this week. What do you think we do, Curtis?
1-3 against the Sox, 0-3 against the Cubs for a 1-6 week.
Yeesh. All right, Hammy, what do you got?
I was right on the fence with Curtis and where I ended up, which was 2-5. So 1-3 with the Sox. I think we win one at home. And then I think we go 1-2 against the Cubs.
All right, so 4-0 against the Sox.
I feel that's optimistic. Yes, sorry. Anyway, say that again, Steve.
Yeah, 4-0 against the Sox.
Right, 4-0 against the Sox.
And then 1-2 against the Cubs.
This Braves team.
This, yes. So,
okay.
So yeah, so, you know, a really nice 5-2 week for the Braves this week.
And they're not playing.
How exciting.
The Pawtucket Sox, you wrote that down, right?
Yeah.
Wait a minute, I thought this was one of those exhibition things.
Yeah.
Throwback.
And we would still lose two of the four of the Pawtucket Sox.
That's true.
All right, guys, on that note, that is the show. Remember, we are at our new home of Blog Talk Radio, as well as iTunes and Stitcher. And as always, you can find us at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com to access all of our shows, to check out our blogs, and to post in our comments section. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at ATL Baseball Talk and to like us on Facebook. Thanks again for listening, everyone, and go Braves!
Thanks for listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves. To find new shows, to post in our forum, or to send a comment, please visit us at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com. How do I-